Donald Trump has already bypassed chain of command and deployed the National Guard to LA and has moved to federalize Washington's police force. He's now suggesting that could also happen in Chicago and Oakland. You've said this isn't about safety, but about power and control. Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance accused Democrats of being angrier about federal help than about crime itself, calling it a, quote, sickness in the head. Can you share your response to that statement?
I don't believe J.D. Vance has had to sit with mothers who have lost their children to gun violence. I don't think that J.D. Vance has spent the last three decades sitting in living rooms, figuring out with families how to pay for funerals or how to get in a car in the morning and go visit someone who's been wrongfully convicted of a crime, or sat with young women who have experienced rape and sexual assault and the police department didn't have the staffing to process their rape kits. I mean, come on, like, to gaslight the communities that have been suffering and to suggest that crime will be stopped by the insertion of hundreds of folks who were not trained to do local law enforcement. We have asked clearly this administration to fund violence prevention efforts. And in fact, they have taken away grants all across the country for violence prevention efforts in cities that deeply need those resources. I think it's misplaced. Again, it's not about this push to militarize our cities. Again, it's not about crime. It's not about safety. If it was about safety, you would have an administration that wanted to work closely with mayors and our police chiefs here and our community violence interrupters. We would have an administration that fully funded mental health care and treatment on demand and job training. If it was about folks following the law and creating law-abiding cities, you wouldn't have an administration that was defunding child care and Job Corps. So no, don't. We can't be in a situation where we're going along with this gaslighting. It's just not true.
At a recent press conference, Oakland's Mayor Barbara Lee suggested that there may be racial motives behind where the National Guard is being deployed. At the same event, an Oakland council member described it as grooming for fascism. Do you share that same concern?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing across the country is fascism and totalitarianism, the clarity in what's happening all over this country. That's what's happening. You have a president and you have an administration that is hell-bent on violating the Constitution on a daily basis. And regardless how you vote, red or blue, folks are beginning to see the real suffering that will continue to take place, from farmers going bankrupt because the USAID grants were halted, to Head Starts, you know, again, having to close their doors, to young people fighting very rare cancers. Their clinical trials are being shut down in the middle of their care because this administration has stopped NIH grants. The assault on the American people is very real. Fascism, we were told clearly by this president when he was running, and he didn't mince his words, that should he get into office, folks would never have to vote again. Some of us laughed and chuckled. Others of us did not. We knew that this president is hell-bent on establishing rule and power and taking this country back to a pre-civil rights era. It's happening in plain sight.
Your North Bay colleague, Jared Huffman, has stated that he believes Trump has crossed the Rubicon into fascism. Given our country's history of fighting authoritarian governments abroad, how should elected officials and the public respond here at home? And is it too late to prevent a deeper slide?
It's not too late. It's definitely not too late. I have been talking a lot with our constituents about really what time is it. I think that Democrats and Republicans alike, we need to walk in our values. And if we actually value this soil, we value human dignity, we won't sort of lay down and let this administration roll all over us. Every vote and every opportunity we have to stand in solidarity with members of our community, we have to do that work on the inside of the dome and on the outside of the dome. That's my commitment. I would encourage every elected official to listen to their neighbors on a daily basis, listen to folks who are surviving in public housing, listen to the young person who's afraid to go to school because he believes that La Migra might be at school, ready to pick him and his parents up, and they will have no right to counsel. We got to get it together, and we have to be in these streets. We have to be in the streets, we have to be in the courtrooms, and we have to encourage our legislatures, whether it's on the local, state, or federal level, to be about this thing that we call civil rights and humanity and social justice, which means all of us, not just some of us.
Congress is currently in recess, but will return in September. Meanwhile, U.S. support continues to sustain what many describe as ethnic cleansing, even genocide, in Gaza. With the recent famine declaration and new evidence of possible war crimes, do you think Congress will act in a meaningful way when it reconvenes? And if so, how?
I've been so shocked at our unwillingness to speak the truth, that our foreign policy, our decisions, we are complicit in what we know, what we see is ethnic cleansing. We can't kill our way to safety. We can't kill our way to international security. And that's exactly what this country is doing. I will continue to vote hell no on any assertion that we need to continue fueling a siege on a people. That's not how we get to peace in the region.